Lord, this gathering right now, and Father, just as the family comes together over, as it were, a table of thanksgiving, we have a rare opportunity, being Americans, being in this country, the Word of God, the Bible, the founding of our nation. Truly, there is no country on the face of the earth that has been recorded in history like America. We know that Israel, no doubt about it, founded upon your word, your people, and their future is secure in your scriptures. But Father, we look no doubt to the United States of America, and it is that wild branch, as it were. It is that grafting in of the Gentile nation into the commonwealth of Israel, the scriptures. Very unique. So, Father, bless this time of meditation of thankfulness that we must tonight decide for. A thankful heart is a decision that we make now. Not based upon feeling, not based upon happenstance. It is rooted in the joy of the Lord. And we decide now to be thankful. We pray it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, church, did you receive that handout as you were coming in this evening? I'm going to ask you to hang on to that, and you can read it at your leisure tomorrow or tonight, and just enjoy that. But tonight, as we just consider this time of thanksgiving, we give thanks to you, O God, is the theme and the title of what we're looking at tonight. And I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 75. Psalm 75, verse 1. And the scripture there says, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wondrous works. Declare that your name is near. And I love that. I want you to be thinking about tonight as I race through these considerations of being thankful. That verse is very powerful, that we give thanks to God. It is a decision that we make. And church, you've got to listen to me tonight. You've got to pretend this evening in a lot of ways. I don't want to be preaching a sermon or teaching a sermon to you. I'd rather be at a table talking with you. But it also demands that there be a little bit of a boot camp encouragement or exhortation to us tonight. Because being thankful is a decision that you have to make. You can be the most spoiled, rotten person in the world and never be thankful. In fact, most people who are spoiled are not thankful. A kid surrounded by gifts and a host of adults at his or her beck and call to spoil them at the drop of a hat is a very disgruntled child. And yet God has given us so much as a nation, and yet times are different like never before. Appreciation, gratitude, thanks, thanksgiving is something that's not natural to the human heart. We've got to nurture that. Depends on how we see things, how we view things. But tonight, church, as we look to tomorrow, as it is the day designated for Thanksgiving in America, it's unlike any day of Thanksgiving anywhere in the world. Thanksgiving is uniquely American. It's been known as America's first holy day. We say holiday. Holiday means holy day. Robert Treat Paine in 1775, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, said, quote, I desire to bless and praise the name of God Most High for appointing me my birth in a land of gospel light. Listen to this. Where the glorious tidings of the Savior and of pardon and salvation through him have been continually sounding in mine ears. He says, in mine ears, Old English. That's your history. And by the way, I encourage you to look up all these quotes and the quotes that you hear often from this pulpit in the area of American heritage and history. I want you to know something right now. If you Google almost any quote of one of our founders, one of the websites that will come up will be something like fake history or fake quotes. Be careful. I have quoted to you some of the most historic and lifelong quotations from Benjamin Franklin and Patrick Henry that I have seen engraved in granite in Washington, D.C., but someone will go to a website and say, that's not a real quote, because some idiot on the internet has a website that says it's not a real quote. Those are revisionists. When Robert Treat Paine said, my heart's thankful because I was birthed in a nation where there's the gospel light, there'll be those in an instant saying, that's not true. You guys need to be wise thinkers more than ever before. And here's the deal. You will always be safe if you go back to the original source. And be careful. You will not learn what's taken people a lifetime to learn. You will not get a doctorate in history by spending 15 seconds on a website. Why do I say that? Because there are those who, as are in the news this week, that are defaming our first true holy day, Thanksgiving. Did you know it has, according to them, nothing to do with the pilgrims? It has nothing to do with Massasoits or the Wampanoag Indians coming to our aid. It has nothing to do with William Bradford. It has nothing to do with Josiah Winslow. It has nothing to do with the Mayflower. It has nothing to do with that stuff. It has to do with celebrating harvest festivals in the new revisionist mind. And it's out of control. But tonight you're going to hear something completely different. You have that proclamation in front of you. That's from President George Washington. And I want you to hang on to that. The reason why we took the effort to print it up for you tonight is because this is the original Thanksgiving proclamation. You might say, or if you look up on the internet, no, they'll say, no, it was Abraham Lincoln who brought it up. It's relatively new. No, that's not true. This proclamation was actually declared by George Washington on the third day of October, 1789, in New York City, the first capital of the United States or the colonies, before Washington, D.C. It was Washington's first year as president. And in the relocation, this proclamation was not discovered. It was lost in American antiquity and then rediscovered in the vaults of the White House. You can read all about that. But I want you to take the time later to see how many times George Washington, the first president of the United States. Remember now, we live in a non-Christian nation. Remember that. We live in a nation that was not founded by Christians, the revisionist says. And here you have the first citizen of America, the first president, the first commander in chief, giving accolades to God. In Washington, D.C., at the Library of Congress, there's housed many other documents, of course, and records of American holy day accounts. The earliest record is quite shocking. Listen, those of you who are young, listen to this history. You won't get this in school. The earliest record of an actual decided Thanksgiving was in 1541 by Spanish explorer Coronado, who's south of here on Coronado Island. That's where I was born. Coronado, the great explorer, gave thanks to God in coming to America. Then French Protestant colonists in St. Augustine, Florida, held a Thanksgiving service to Almighty God in 1564. And again in 1607, the Jamestown settlers held a solemn assembly of Thanksgiving to God at Cape Henry, Virginia. The first recorded call for an annual Thanksgiving was given at Berkeley Plantation, Virginia, in 1619, when Captain John Woodliffe and 38 settlers aboard the ship Marguerite proclaimed, and I quote, "We ordain that the day of our ship's arrival at the place assigned for plantation in the land of Virginia shall be yearly and perpetually kept holy as a day of thanksgiving to Almighty God." As modern Americans, we tonight, the first Thanksgiving that comes to our minds is the ones that is based upon the Thanksgiving in 1621 at Plymouth Colony. And so it should. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed or happy is the nation whose God is the Lord." And William Bradford and those pilgrims that came over, hung on to those verses, and you can read them in their own writings. You can actually buy today William Bradford's book and read it. How they sought God and dedicated this nation to the Lord, and they were thankful. The world's national boundaries of all the nations, think about that. And the coming to America, what was God in that? Well, yeah, if you go back to 1492 and the log of Christopher Columbus, by the way, it's online. You can look at his daily log. The great book, The Light and the Glory, that annals the history of Christopher Columbus. He was completely, absolutely given over to the fact that God was in the founding of America. Of course, that's different than the History Channel's version completely. They have him as a drunken maniac obsessed with gold. But that's not what Christopher Columbus says about the nations or about America. It's interesting that Deuteronomy 32:8 says, when the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, he divided mankind and he fixed the borders of nations according to the number of the sons of men. What a tremendous verse. So friends, tonight as we consider tomorrow and our celebration, I want you to look at a few things. Number one, we give thanks to God this way for his awesome works. Can we say amen to that? That God has done awesome works. And you need to make a decision right now. I know that the economy is depressed. I know that in California specifically, I think we have the highest unemployment rate in all 50 states. If not, we're the second highest, but I think we're the first. Our nation is in financial peril. The feds reported today that it doesn't look good for the next 5 to 8 years. New home purchases are down 8.1% today. People are losing their jobs. Do you understand that God is still on his throne? And that if you're in here tonight and you've lost your job and you can't buy a house and you don't know where your next paycheck's going to come from, understand something. God is awesome and he never changes. You say, well, if he's so awesome, what does he fix? Listen, this is a time of purifying for this nation and for that matter, for the world. There's rioting tonight today in Ireland. Because of financial difficulties. Portugal's next. Spain is next. The world is in trouble, but God is awesome. In Psalm 145, verse 3, it says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And we're going to do this in a moment. And his greatness is unsearchable. You need to remember that. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and your wondrous works. Friends, church family, listen, visitor, you've got to take your issues and put them in light of the glorious, awesome works of God. And everything else gets smaller. Let me tell you something. I'll let you in on something very personal in my home. When we get up in the morning, I'm usually up hours before Lisa. It's just the way that I'm wired. And when she gets up, she says, Jack. Our house is very small. I can hear her say that, and I come quickly. We go through the word for the day together, and then we pray. And she's a stickler for this. Okay. She's a stickler for the acronyms for ACTS. You know what those are for? You guys practicing those things? I know the men's prayer team does that. But ACTS, we come and we just appreciate him. We give his accolades. We thank him. Lisa won't pray and talk to God unless she thinks about all of his attributes and she speaks them out loud. And I'm listening. And she's going and I'm listening and then I'm listening. And then she's going, will you say something? Oh, okay. Well, I mean, because she just goes. When she starts going, you got to jump in. And you're awesome. And then she's going and she's going and she's going. And then I got to jump in and say, you're great. And then she's going, man. And then you go to confession of our sins. Lord, forgive us for being short or ill-tempered or lazy or whatever it might be. Lord, we make confession. And then T, thanks. God, we thank you for all of your wondrous works. We thank you, God. And listen, I don't know about you, but tomorrow will be just like today for me. And Friday will be just like tomorrow. And that is this: I have never been more thankful in my life. And I know from many of you that I've talked to, there's something in the air where we are thankful. There's something going on. Maybe all the comforts that we have are about to evaporate, and that makes us be very thankful. When we turn on this faucet, we have water that we can drink, and I'm thankful. Tonight, after Wahoos, I'll go home and I'll get into a warm bed and I'll be thankful. I'm thankful I have shoes tonight. Are you thankful? I've never been more thankful in all of my life. God is so good. Something's going on. His wondrous works. And he was known, by the way, to the pilgrims as the pilgrims' pastor, John Robinson. And he wrote, and I quote, "Now as the people of God in old time were called out of Babylon, the place of their bodily bondage, and were come to Jerusalem and they're there to build the Lord's temple, so we are the people of God now to go out of this spiritual Babylon to America, to a new Jerusalem for us, and there to build ourselves living stones into a spiritual house for the Lord to dwell in." And the pilgrims saw God do awesome things. Number two is that we give thanks to God tonight for his exceeding supply. This is going to sound silly in a second, but just hear me out. In Psalm 103, verse 1, the Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." "Who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all our diseases." Do you need a healing tonight? "Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, of whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Why does the Bible say no variation or shadow of turning? Because times change. Things are going on in the world, but God never changes. Please hang on to that like never before. It's almost as though God had preserved America for the last days. Think about how old Europe is, for example, and how old the Orient is, for example, and the continent that you're sitting on, how young the whole thing is. Your family, go back a generation to your parents. Go back to their parents. Go back to three generations. Now you go back just four generations. Right now in my home, in my life, there's me, there's my children, and now we have a granddaughter. Think about that. Generations. What about you? Going back four to five generations, we come back to the formation of the United States. I've knocked on doors in Russia at the Kremlin that were 1,000 years old. In America, it's like a gangly teenager. It seems as though God had preserved America, and I believe he did. Listen to this. From the 1740s to around the year 2000, the Lord blessed America more than any other nation that the world has ever seen. Ever. By the way, including Israel, their day's coming. Their days of blessings are coming. You may not know this because you and I have been satisfied on so much and we become complacent. But even when the British invaded the 13 colonies in early America, it is recorded, and I have the writings at home, I'm trying to remember what book it is, but it is recorded that when the officers and soldiers broke in to the common colonial home, our furniture and our fabric and our standard of living was higher than any other country in Europe. Did you know that? In 1775. God blessed the bounty. Did you know that when the British invaded Breed's Hill, or Bunker Hill as we know it in America, Breed's Hill? Yeah, the British won, but Parliament said, if we have any more victories like this, it will surely prove ruinous to the victor. The British won the Battle of Bunker Hill, but it cost them 1,000 British lives in an appalling slaughter. When they got to the top of Bunker Hill, they looked around in the midst of all the death and mayhem. They said it was the most pristine, perfect, beautiful place outside of heaven. They said the only thing you could see was the beautiful waters of Boston Harbor and the Atlantic, rolling green hills, apple orchards as far as the eye could see, and only interrupted by the spires of church steeples. God had blessed America. And I know this sounds silly, his exceeding supply for America, but while the British forces were starving to death in most cases, in the opening years of the Revolutionary War that brought about our independence, the American soldier was the best fed. And you ought to read the accounts, the literal menus for the soldiers in the opening years of the Revolution were amazing. You see, what do you bring that up for? Because you know what, the other day, this is going to sound corny, but the other day, Lisa and I were in the grocery store on Monday night. I saw three of you in there Monday night. And I had in my hand corn on the cob, and I was looking at it. And this is just what's going on in my heart. I was looking at it, and I told Lisa, I said, look at this. How can someone not believe in a God? If you do not believe in God tonight, I want you to go and stand in the produce section of any grocery store. And I want you to ask yourself, the corn, the broccoli, the onions, the oranges, the apples, the fruits and the vegetables alone speak of the glory of God. On top of the fact that he not only engineered them to be wonderful for us, but even as they change in seasons, they just happen to be the exact vitamins that you need during the long daylight hours and the short daylight hours, the warm temperatures, the cold temperatures. God did all that. And America has been the produce capital of the world. It's amazing. So if you doubt the existence of God, go look at a banana. And you tell me how evolution can concoct a banana, a perfect packaged, ready to ship, sealed in its own wrapping. Perfect fruit. And how a coconut can drift across the oceans and land on the sandy beach and become a tree to bring more coconuts. God is awesome. And he has exceedingly blessed and supplied America. We are so spoiled, we have forgotten God, I fear. We give God thanks, number three, because, listen, of his strong protection. I'm concerned about this one. Take a look at the patriotic songs of America. And I don't even know if they're taught in schools anymore. But when I grew up, you know, remember when we grew up, we were in public school. Remember the songs we used to sing? We used to sing God Bless America. We had to. It would offend somebody. Nobody even used the word offend. The word wasn't even used. We were Americans. Yeah, but you know what? This guy's from Portugal. This guy's from Canada. We were Americans. And we sang songs. Yankee Doodle Dandy. This land is our land. Remember that? Do you remember when you used to be able to go to Disneyland? Because Walt Disney loved America. And all the presentations. Remember Abraham Lincoln? Remember he'd stand up? Remember? He'd talk to you, Lincoln. Did you know, I guess it's all been removed or it's coming back. I don't know what's going on, but is he back? He was gone for a while. Is Lincoln back? Okay, well, good. They're not all godless there then. His strong protection. Our national anthem, our early American songs spoke of a nation dependent upon God. That's why you don't hear those songs anymore. It's all about God. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Listen to this. America trusted in the Lord with all of its heart and leaned not to its own understanding. In all of its ways it acknowledged God. God directed its paths. America was humble. It was not wise in its own eyes. Rather, it feared the Lord and departed from evil. You think about that. Listen to this quote. "A patriot must be a religious man," wrote Thomas Jefferson. "God who gave us liberty, or God who gave us life, gave us liberty." And again, he said, "Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when," listen, "we have removed their only firm basis?" Well, what's that, Mr. Jefferson? "A conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are a gift from God." Thomas Jefferson. God's strong arm of protection. I'm concerned tonight. I give thanks to God, but my nation has departed from God. I'm concerned tonight. Our nation has had a very weak response verbally today. As you and I woke up, was it Tuesday morning? Yesterday we woke up to find out that North Korea attacked South Korea. And it's escalating. South Korea now, and in response to the death and the shelling of over 200 rocket launches or bomb launches against South Korea, unprovoked. Why is North Korea doing this? And then you look at the supposed plan, and we're going to have to talk about this before, I think, December 31st, but North Korea was communicating to Iran. Iran was communicating to North Korea. All of this is being orchestrated. And China's in the conversation. America has known about this. Israel's been warning about it. We've been listening to the chatter. The unusual airplane a couple weeks ago off of Catalina Island has now been clearly identified. I'm concerned. When we are independent from God, God will have us to defend ourselves. And I don't like that. I want my God to defend us. And when we turn our backs on God, America becomes a walled city. I remember going to Washington, D.C., when you could walk up to the White House. And now it's ridiculously embarrassing. Washington, D.C. is a walled city with machine guns and blockades and concrete barriers under fear of attack. I'm concerned for our protection as a nation. But I give God thanks because He is our only defense. He's your defense and He's my defense. He's our nation's defense. I pray that our nation's leaders would see Him as our defense. Number four, we give thanks to God tonight and tomorrow, church, for His gracious invitation. The pilgrims and our founding fathers responded to His invitation. It says, and I quote, "We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and General Congress assembled, appealing to the supreme judge of the world." Can you imagine that being said today? "For the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these united colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do any other acts and things which independent states may of right do, and for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." Did you hear that? With reliance upon divine providence. Psalm 144, verse 15 says, "Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord." Number five, We give thanks to God tomorrow for his sweet forgiveness. Amen to that. The pilgrims came here with that intent. The First Continental Congress appointed the day of thanksgiving and praise, quote, so that the people may express the grateful feelings of their hearts and join in prayers that it may please God through the merits of Jesus Christ to forgive us our sins and to enlarge his kingdom, which consists of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Samuel Adams and Richard Henry Lee, Continental Congress, 1777. Does this excite you? All five of us are excited about that. Man, you young people need to know this stuff. Because you're not getting it in schools. What caused the United States of America to be once so great? It was what she was built upon. The belief in God and the Bible. The love for fellow man. Because God, it was understood, loved mankind. We became one by uniting in a common cause. Did you know that? One common cause united us. When America fought for its independence, there were Irishmen, Italians, there were Germans, there were Englishmen, there were you name it. There was a common cause that united us. And I fear tonight that we have failed to communicate that common cause from generation to generation. We will never be thankful fully for liberty and peace, I fear, unless it's taken from us. You know, you never quite know what you... Remember those, oh boy, I sure do miss my fill in the blank? Listen to what they said. You know this. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Endowed by their Creator. You can't go around murdering people if you believe that each man has been endowed by his Creator. Can't do that. But if we have been created by our Creator, and we have been created by Him, He's a God of forgiveness, and it's wonderful. Number six, we give thanks to God for His perfect salvation. The pilgrims escaped Europe for religious freedoms. Contrary to the revisionists, not for economic reasons, the pilgrims did not come for economic reasons. Nor for social justice reasons. They didn't come for racial issues. In their own writings, they said they came that they could worship freely without the intrusion of the king. Now, I quoted part of this, and let me keep going. When it comes to our minds about the first Thanksgiving of 1621 at Plymouth, listen to this. In the winter of 1620, a year before, just a couple of months after the landing at Pilgrim, or at Plymouth, I should say, nearly half of the 102 aboard the Mayflower died of starvation or exposure to the winter cold. Almost half of them. In the spring of 1621, on March 22nd, 1621. This is a cool story. You ought to read it sometime. A Native American Indian named Squanto, remember him? Yeah. Came literally walking out of the woods and approached the pilgrims speaking English. It shocked the pilgrims. They couldn't believe it. The guy spoke great English. They freaked out. What? He became a Christian, Squanto did, in England. He was captured as a slave and taken to England, lived, I think, 5 or 6 years in England. Was educated in English, became a Christian, and finally made his way back home. And when he arrived and got off the boat and ran to his countrymen, to his brothers and sisters of his tribe, listen to this. They were all found dead either on the ground or half buried or some buried. All of them were dead. He was the only survivor. God had it in his providence for Squanto to be taken as a slave to Europe, gets saved, learns English, makes his way back, and the plague had completely killed every one of his tribesmen. He was the only survivor. He was alone. And he comes walking out of the woods, speaking English to the pilgrims. And Squanto literally saves your descendants. The pilgrims didn't know how to farm the land. They didn't know that if you took fish, Squanto taught them to grind up fish and lay the fish guts and the fish emulsion in the soil and then plant corn, and it would explode and be extremely profitable and healthy. And he taught them how to hunt deer, and he saved them. You say, no, you're making that up. Okay, I'm reading from William Bradford's book. Quote, special instrument he was, sent by God for our good beyond our expectations. Squanto. And they had, having survived their first Thanksgiving. But you don't hear about Squanto being a Christian in the modern history books. God's great perfect salvation. I thank God, and I thank God that the gospel's been free in America. Listen to this. Upon his deathbed, Patrick Henry. I may be off on these numbers. Look it up later. I confess I may be off on these numbers. But if memory serves me right, Patrick Henry had either 11 or 17 kids. I forget which. I'm close. It was either 11 or 17. This I do know. By the time he died, Patrick Henry had 77 grandchildren. Dude, when the Bible says be fruitful and multiply, he had multiplied. If you ever get a chance to go to Colonial Williamsburg, Patrick Henry will be there. He'll pack out the theater, 1,000 people. You can hardly get in. Well, you can't get in unless you're there early, and he'll speak. You see, what are you talking about? There's historians that reenact. It's awesome. And upon his death, Patrick Henry said, and I quote, "Doctor, I wish you to observe how real and how beneficial the religion of Jesus Christ is to a man about to die. I am, however, much more consoled by reflecting that the religion of Christ has, from its first appearance into the world, been attacked in vain by all the wits, philosophers, and wise ones, aided by every power of man, and its triumphs have been complete." Patrick Henry dies. Number 7, I thank God for his continued mercy. Mercy, the word mercy means deep compassion or great pity. America needs the mercy of God tonight more than ever. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, the Bible says, God who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. We look to God for that. Mercy. Look at Psalm 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say his mercy endures forever. His mercy. God watching over us. God not giving us what we deserve. Then Colonel George Washington, serving under British command, wrote to his brother John after the Battle of Monongahela in 1755, in which Colonel Washington, his life had been spared while others killed all around him. Listen to this. This is from Washington's own writings. And you'll see this, by the way, engraved at Mount Vernon. Quote, "But by the all-powerful dispensations of Providence, I have been protected beyond all human probability and expectation. For I had 4 bullet holes through my coat and 2 horses shot out from underneath me, yet escaped unhurt, although death was leveling my companions on every side of me. George Washington. Did you know that Franklin Roosevelt, President of the United States of America, he says, I do set aside the appointed Thursday of the 13th day of November 1933 to be a day of thanksgiving for all our people. May we on that day in our churches and in our homes give humble thanks for the blessings bestowed upon us during the year passed by Almighty God. Can you imagine that being said today? ACLU would sue a president for saying that. We give thanks to God, number 8, for his great love. What can be said about this? Do I need to say anything about this? His great love? He loves us. He hates our sin, but he loves us as a nation. Tomorrow we humbly will take... We're going to eat something tomorrow. I don't care if you eat a worm tomorrow. God will have provided it. As long as it has an olive on it, it'd be fine. I don't need to talk about his great love for us. It's obvious. Number 9, for his steadfast hope. Romans 5:5 says, now hope does not disappoint. I've never known God to disappoint. I have argued with God about his timing, but he's never disappointed me. Because the love of God has been poured out on our hearts by the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit who is given to us. In 1941, the 77th Congress permanently established the fourth Thursday of each November as the national holiday or holy day, declaring, quote, this is Congress, listen to this. Let us celebrate the Thanksgiving observance, remembering to retain the original gratefulness to God that has always been the spirit of this, the oldest of all American holidays. Isn't that amazing? And number 10 is this, for his wonderful son. Tomorrow, like every day, tomorrow is, in the life of a real Christian, tomorrow is the day of football and family coming together and eating. It's no different than any other day for the Christian who knows his Bible. Every day is a day of thanksgiving. Every day we give thanks to God for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. We're going to worship in a moment. And I want you to just make this your giving unto God, your thanksgiving. Colossians 1:3 says, we give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. At the Constitutional Convention in 1787, James Madison proposed the plan to divide the central government into 3 branches. Listen to this. He discovered the model for government from the perfect governor, he said, all in capital letters. As he read Isaiah 33:22, he says, for the Lord is our judge, the judicial branch. The Lord is our lawgiver, the legislative branch. The Lord is our king, the executive branch, and he will save us. He saves us by his son Jesus. That's how he saves us. And in 1812, then President James Madison signed a federal bill which economically aided the Society of Philadelphia in its goal to mass produce, listen, and distribute Bibles throughout America. It was approved by Congress on February 2nd, 1813. And I end with this final quote. Dr. Benjamin Rush, he was a radical Christian. Benjamin Rush, you do well if you study his life. Benjamin Rush, Thomas Jefferson, and Benjamin Franklin were the 3 key abolitionists. They started the abolitionist movement to free black men. He was an MD. Dr. Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration of Independence, he says, my only hope of salvation is in the infinite, transcendent love of God manifested to the world by the death of his son upon the cross. Nothing but his blood will wash away my sins. I rely exclusively upon it. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Close quote. Dr. Benjamin Rush, we need that tonight. Lord, come quickly. Father, tonight we are so grateful. I just pray, Father, that tomorrow, wherever we're at, we'll be with family, maybe some with non-believers. It's always exciting. That, Lord, there'd be a deep river of peace flowing in our soul, of thankfulness to you, Lord God. And above all, Father, for being the God that you are. We do thank you, Father, that you've allowed us to be in this nation. It's got a lot of troubles. We're in peril. We're in a state of crisis, some would say. Our borders are unprotected. There's threats at sea and within. But you and you alone are the only one that can keep us safe. You're the only one that can get us through the night. Many, Lord, are the evils that are plotting against us, but you alone are God. Many would see our demise and try to undo and destroy the bounty of freedom that you've given us. But Father, we cry out to you tonight, and we ask you to heal our children, to heal our husbands, heal our wives, heal our homes. Lord, heal our cities, heal our states. Heal our nation, O God, while your people are still on this earth. Lord, revive our country. Lord, either that or come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly. For it's in his name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Church, let's stand right now as we worship.